Hey, what's up? Welcome back to the Smart Pizza Marketing Podcast. My guest today is Joe from Grimaldi's Pizza, and this is going to be a great episode. Joe is the CEO of Grimaldi's Pizza, and on today's podcast, we discuss not only what it's like to run so many different pizzerias in so many different states during 2020, but what it's like moving forward in 2021. What's changed? What are some changes that they made in 2020 that they had to make that they decided to end keep because they worked out so well? Why he changed his mind on takeout and delivery? Obviously, 2020 had something to do with that. How they find employees and what do they look for when opening new locations? All of that we discuss on today's podcast. So I think you're going to enjoy this one. You may want to listen to this twice because there's a lot of great information on this podcast. Also, Pizza Summit 2021 is live. Go to I don't know if I have to say www anymore, but I'm going to. Pizza Summit 2021, the numbers 2021.com to register. And here's the deal. If you use SPM podcast as the coupon code, you get 50% off. It's $49. You'll get it for 50% off just for being a listener of the SPM show. And we have so many great sessions and guests. And this year, I really wanted to do a mix of bringing on new people who have experiences, obviously through 2020, that I think will help you. Not only operators, pizza makers, pizza experts, but also experts on trends in the marketing world that I see coming. So we have a couple sessions on Google advertising. We have a session on YouTube advertising. We have a session on bots for Facebook and Instagram. We have a Facebook ads session for local businesses. We have an Instagram session. So many great sessions, and it's a mix. You're going to get great talks with pizza operators so you can really figure out what's working today inside of the pizza business. But then also we're going to have dedicated sessions from my friends who are experts in certain topics like Google or YouTube or Facebook. So you can really dive deep into one particular category. Because some of the things that I've noticed over the course of doing this podcast and doing marketing for restaurants is that everywhere in the country is different. You know, if you are in a certain area and TikTok is popular, it may not be popular in a different place. Your preferred platform for marketing may be Facebook, or it may be YouTube, or it may be Instagram. So you really want to have a good grasp of how to leverage these platforms, whether that be with free content or paid advertising, and how to do that properly. So we have so many good sessions. I think last year's Pizza Summit was amazing. I think this year's is going to be just as good, if not better, than last year. So go to pizzasummit2021.com, use coupon code SPM podcast, all one word, lowercase, spelled out in the coupon code for 50% off your ticket. Okay, I'm trying to keep it as cheap as I possibly can. Just enough to pay for everything that we're doing to get this summit going. So 50% off, use coupon code SPM podcast in the coupon code when you register. And it's going to be great. It's going to be May 24th through the 26th. When you do register, you will get access to all the live talks. So it's going to be a mix. They're going to be pre-recorded sessions and live talks, and everything will be there in the schedule. And once you register and you sign up, you will get access forever to all the recordings. So if you are working, and maybe you can join Tuesday for a couple, but Wednesday and Monday you can't, you will be able to go back 3 months from now and get all of those recordings later. So they'll be there for you at your disposal forever. Once you sign up, you get all the access to those things forever. So again, pizzasummit2021.com, use coupon code SPM podcast to register for 50% off. If you're looking to market your pizzeria in 2021, you have to contact Mailshark. It's got to be your direct mail go-to company. Whether you want to get your menu in the hands of new customers or promote your pizza shop with a postcard, magnet, or one of the hottest direct mail pieces, they have these plastic postcards. Mailshark will work with you to come up with the best marketing plan that fits your budget. And that's very important in 2021. Mailshark gives pizzerias the ability to spread those mailings and payments out over a weekly schedule. So it doesn't have to be all upfront money. It helps you out, lets you work with them to put those content pieces out and pay for it as you go. Thousands of pizzerias trust Mailshark with their direct mail and printing marketing. They are the best in the industry. Give them a call today, 610-621-5116, or you can visit them at themailshark.com/ SPM to find out how they can help your pizza shop. They have so many options available. Again, 610-621-5116 or themailshark.com/SPM. From Italy to Chicago, the Fontanini family has been creating specialty pizza toppings and authentic sausages for generations. With a commitment to genuine handcrafted family recipes, it's a name that customers equate with excellence. The Fontanini brand has become very well known within the Italian and pizza segment of food service and appears on menus ranging from small, independent Italian restaurants to national pizza chains and everything in between. There's so many places that I've visited over the years doing this podcast that use Fontanini products, and I have to say, I've yet to come across one that I do not enjoy. So whether you're interested in trying Fontanini sliced sausages, raw bulk sausage, like they use in Chicago, meatballs, shaved pepperoni, or another pick from the list of products that Fontanini has, Smart Pizza Marketing listeners can request a free sample by going to fontanini.com/smartpizzamarketing. Or if you're on Instagram, at Fontanini Brand, you can follow them, give them a follow, shoot them a direct message, let them know you heard them on the Smart Pizza Marketing podcast. Again, if you want a free sample, you can request something at fontanini.com/smartpizzamarketing. Or you know what? If you want a sample, go follow them on Instagram, send them a message, let them know you heard them here on the Smart Pizza Marketing podcast and what you would love to try. All right, now for today's episode, Joe from Grimaldi's Pizza is going to share his insights to growing multiple places in multiple states, how they dealt with 2020, how they pivoted to takeout and delivery, what they're keeping moving forward, how they find people. So much great episode, great information inside of this episode with Joe from Grimaldi's Pizza. Let's get into it. All right, welcome back to the podcast, everybody. My guest today is Joe Scioli, CEO of Grimaldi's Pizza. I'm excited to talk to him. I'm very familiar with Grimaldi, so I'm excited to have a conversation on the podcast and share it with you guys. So, Joe, first of all, thank you so much. I know you're busy. You got a lot going on, so thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
Pleasure being here.
Let's get into your story. How did you get started with the Grimaldi's?
It's a long story. How much time do we have?
We got 30 minutes.
All right. How I got started Grimaldi's. So, interesting enough, Patsy Grimaldi is one of my dad's best friends. So they grew up together. Oh, so cool. I used to call my uncle Patsy. So when I was out here in Arizona, I was running some restaurant bars that we had out here. And my father contacted me and said that Uncle Patsy wants to retire. So Patsy was in his 70s and him and his wife, Carol, had been running the restaurant and they wanted out. And my dad really wasn't a restaurateur. So I flew back to New York, worked in the restaurant. And I said, all right, I'm in. So I committed for a year and I wound up staying for five.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was a great experience.
How many locations did they have at that time?
We had two locations actually. We had one in Brooklyn under the Brooklyn Bridge and then one in Hoboken.
Okay. So you grew it from there?
I grew it from there. So I worked in the restaurant for 5 years in the Brooklyn store. I turned it around from literally we had about 40 seats in there. I got it to 90 seats when we took over. We were closed on Tuesdays. I was open 7 days a week. Patsy used to close in all of August and go out to go to Italy. I kept this open every day, every week. So there was no confusion. And we actually, the second year I had it, I turned it from to be the number one pizzeria, 28 in Zagat, and, you know, 3 hour lines to get into the place.
That's amazing. What a cool story.
Yeah. And then from there, September 11 happened. I didn't want to stay in New York any longer. I wanted to get back to Arizona. So I moved back to Arizona and I opened our first store in Old Town, Scottsdale, in 2003.
How did that one go?
Gangbusters. I brought one of my really close friends who was a fraternity brother of mine in, and he was running another group of restaurants, and he came in. So it was him and I managing the restaurant. So it was a lot of fun. So we were day and night. It was just him and I running the restaurant and, training people, understanding New York pizza, coal fired pizza, the pizza's burnt, not burnt. You know, it was a lot of fun. Yeah. I enjoyed it. It was good memories of my life, but, We literally opened that store up. We were such a success. The next year, I opened up two more stores in Scottsdale. One in North Scottsdale, one in Chandler.
And I'm sure a lot of people from Arizona are from New York. There's probably a lot of transplants there who are like, I know New York pizza.
You know, believe it or not, when I first came out to Arizona, I came out here to go to college. And they had no idea really what bagels were. They had no idea. like Boar's Head, there was no Boar's Head. There was no Snapple. So it was a different universe. Oh, wow. And then the Super Bowl came, believe it or not. And when the Super Bowl came here, all the New Yorkers were watching and the Giants were in it. So they wanted a ball coming back out in Arizona, seeing how beautiful it was when they were freezing back then.
I know, right? It's the, listen, I'm from Boston, so New York and Boston weather is kind of similar. And trust me, every January, I am like, what the hell am I doing here?
100%. Yeah, you always second guess yourself. And then spring comes, you're like, okay, this is good.
Yeah, like today, it's the middle of April, it's 70 degrees, and I'm like, wow, finally, it's great. I love living here. But then I know come January again, I'm gonna be like, get me out of here.
I get the best of both worlds. I go back there for the summertime. I try to hit the spring, so I'm going back in April, end of April. So I try to get the best seasons out of it again and visit the stores and hit the East Coast.
There you go, perfect. How many locations do you guys have total now?
We have 50.
Wow. And are they all corporately owned or are they franchises as well?
They're all corporately owned. Wow. We started doing our franchise model. I'm super, super, super selective of what I'm doing, my franchise model.
Yep.
So we're actually be signing our first franchise deal coming up like this week or next week.
And where are they located? Like, where's the franchise located?
They're in Alabama.
Okay.
So I'm really excited about it. Again, I'm looking for the franchises that are places I really don't want to open stores myself. Yeah. Because as you know, when you open stores, north side, south side, east, west side, egress, ingress, I'd rather not be traveling and doing all those things, going to whole new cities and towns, trying to figure it out. So
yeah.
People that have been there, that have their experience there, those are the ones I'm looking for.
What do you guys look for when you open a new location?
Oh my, we have a whole demographic search that we do. So we look at the demographic search. We look at the other locations from restaurants. We look at national chains. We look at locals. When I'm on the ground there, it takes me a couple months to get it figured out.
Yeah.
And again, getting away from the family and leaving the kids at home, now I'm just not, it's not like it used to be when I was in my 30s and 40s. It was a lot more fun and easy to do. Now it's like, Dad, when are you coming home?
Right. So
I'd rather look at the franchise model just for that.
Yeah, that's smart because like you can expand your footprint, but not have to go to these places. And you get to like partner with someone there. When you own the business, like the manager must have a little bit of skin in the game, but the franchisee definitely does. And if their success, your success.
100%. And that's why we're really excited about that and our first deal. And we're looking forward to it. And if that's very successful, then I'm going to keep moving forward with that model.
Now, did 2020 throw any kinks in that plan?
2020 threw a kink in every plan. Yeah. I don't know what plan that someone had that wasn't kinked. But it was, the pandemic was definitely an interesting year. It's still the first quarter and we're still involved. Well, second quarter now, it's April, but we're still involved in it. We're still watching it. There's all different variables and variants coming out there saying. So we're just keeping a close eye on it. But the interesting thing about it was, for me, I feel since we are coal-fired pizza, I felt that our pizza is better in-house.
Yeah.
I always promoted in-house dining. I wanted, get an upper ticket average, offer a drink, salad, appetizers. The to-go model, I felt like every 10 minutes the pizza left, the quality dropped by 10%.
Right.
So it comes out of the oven at 100, 10 minutes later it's 90, 80, and as it goes down. So depending how quickly the person gets it to their house is how great I feel the experience is going to be. So I wasn't really a big proponent on offering to go, but you have to do it. So when the pandemic hit, we only had one third-party delivery service, which was DoorDash. We had to ramp up and bring in the other three or four delivery services. As you know, you have to bring in all these different like iPods or iPads in order [S2] Right. [S1] To get the orders. So it was a lot of work going through that. The other biggest issue we had was dealing with employees, if they're getting COVID, people coming, customers, if they have COVID, how do you check on them? How do you make them feel comfortable? Cleaning, the regulations, opening, closing. It was definitely all hands on deck for at least a year.
Yeah. Plus you guys are in so many different states with so many different regulations. Like I'm in Massachusetts, which is way different than Florida. So you have to like each location that you have to figure out, all right, what does that state or city allow us to do in that particular location? So much work.
It was so confusing. Even like Texas, we have a big footprint in Texas. Even in Texas, different counties had different regulations.
Yeah.
So they didn't follow certain mandates. They had their own mandates, their own mayors. So it was a lot of work. And we were on conference calls most of the day figuring things out to keep, like I said, everybody safe in the restaurant from our employees down to our customers.
Are you guys back to, I guess no one's really back to normal yet. So it's still, you're still a work in progress, I'm sure.
I got to tell you, thank God we have pizzas. Pizza business is one of the best businesses out there. We've been through September 11th from terrorist attacks, through the Great Recession in 2008 and 2009. And now we're going through the great pandemic. And we've been very successful going through that. People know that pizza is great to take out. It's sort of like Chinese food.
Yeah.
You know, people really aren't ordering like sushi and steaks and those things to take out. So a lot of people come back to pizza when times are tough. It's also comfort food. So they enjoy the comfort food about that. So for us, sales have been really, really well. Things are going great. I couldn't be happier. We're keeping a really good mix. Our dining rooms in probably five of our markets are open fully, but I didn't open them fully.
Yeah.
I kept them, you know, between 70-90%, just because we have our clientele, goes from literally, you know, babies to, you know, 90-year-olds. So I want everybody to be safe. We're not one of those places where it's like, you know, millennial people coming in, just millennials or, just a certain crowd. We've go across a vast market of people. So I wanted to be really careful on making people feel comfortable coming to our restaurant.
Yeah.
And our to-go has been staying the same. So our to-go hasn't dropped down. So between to-go and the, you know, 50% of the dining room, if you will, or 70%, we're in a really good position.
Is there anything that you did during the 2020 pandemic that you thought you wouldn't do in your business that you ended up, or you're going to end up keeping?
That's a great question. I'm really hoping, and I'm working with our customers, because I really like the to-go model. I really enjoy the to-go model. I'm enjoying the percentages of how the to-go model works. It really works well on labor, our labor percentages.
Yeah.
And again, with all the different states changing their labor and the employment and how much it's costing for minimum wages, again, we all don't know what's going to happen. Is it going to go to $15 an hour? Is it going to stay at 12? Is it going to be tip credits? We don't know. So with this model right now, we're saving a couple points and on our label model. So I really like the way that's working out. So if it stays this way for a while, I'll be really happy.
Plus, I think, you know, as much as we are, you know, I'm this type of person where I haven't gone out to eat in a restaurant a whole lot. I've gone to a couple places that were, you know, it was a big place or it was outside. It was kind of like indoor/outdoor seating. So I haven't gone out to eat a lot. I bet you there's going to be, as much as we want to get back out and get back to normal, there's probably going to be a little hesitation from some folks to really like go full blast and go back out to eat like they used to.
You know what? I agree with you on the East Coast and maybe the West Coast, but I'm telling you, Midwest,
South,
Texas, yeah. Arizona, Florida, the warmer clients, it's like nothing happened here. I mean, it's business as usual. People are going out like crazy. There's lines to get into everything you go to.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible that we went from a complete lockdown, no one going out, to everybody going out. So I understand that, like, I think East Coast, West Coast, and the big cities, there's more of a fear or people are not going out as much, but I'm not seeing it in a lot of our markets. We're the one holding people back from coming in. We're the ones that are still keeping the rules and regulations in order so that we feel that our customers and of course our employees feel safe. Cause that's the one thing that's important to us.
Yeah. So I guess I'm wrong. I guess like it's maybe just cause I'm living in the Northeast and it's just like the atmosphere here. People think that, but I guess you're right. I do know some guys in Florida and Texas, like you said, who have pizzerias and they're like, everything's open here. It's just like it was before the pandemic.
Yeah. And that's exactly right. And in fact, I think it's like on steroids, if you will, because everybody's got their stimulus checks. Everybody's was cooped up in their house for a year. People are ready to go out and these markets are open. So people from California are coming here in droves. People in Florida, they're going to Florida, Texas, they're hitting all these different markets. And you're talking about tens of millions of people that want to get out and about. So you're really seeing the explosion here. And again, I like the way that we're handling it. I think some operators are taking it a little too extreme, meaning they put their tables right back to, you know, 3 feet distance and all that stuff. And we're not doing that. We're being very conservative and we're still doing very well. So I'm good with that.
Yeah. And I like the takeout. I think what makes pizza such a great model for takeout is obviously it's kind of like the one food that you can eat later. I know it goes down, it degrades a little bit for like us who are professional pizza people, you know, but the average consumer thinks it's this tastes great. I know it's been out of the oven for half hour. My expectations are met, but it's like something that the whole family can enjoy. And there's not a lot of like, I don't like that or I don't like that. Pizza is something that everybody likes. I think that's what makes it so great for takeout in, you know, what made pizzerias and operators in the pizza business kind of survive and thrive in 2020.
I would agree strongly with that. I definitely think that people like to use pizza, you know, for breakfast.
Yeah.
So they'll put it in the refrigerator. They won't even heat it up and they'll eat it. I mean, I gotta be honest, like Sunday night football, when we're watching football, I bring a pizza home on Saturday, put it in the refrigerator. don't even heat it up. I just eating out of the box, and it's, you know, it's just as good. I love it. So, I mean, I get it. It's just that, you know, me being in the business I'm in and me being a perfectionist and I want to have the perfect pizza. It's very difficult knowing there's something you love that you want everybody to share the exact same passion and understand that what, like we do.
Yeah. I'm with you. Cause a lot of people want me to come visit their pizzerias, or, you know, if I go to a pizza place, I never judge a pizzeria on a pizza that I eat a half an hour or 45 minutes later. If I eat it in the restaurant, right out of the oven, within a couple minutes of it coming out, I'll judge the pizzeria on how good their pizza is or not. But like, I give them a little bit of leeway when it's like 35 or 40 minutes later, cause I know it's tough.
Yeah, it is tough. I mean, we have our preheating instructions.
Yeah.
And people, you know, it works really well. It's not the same, but I'm okay with it. People, listen, if we're getting that much ordering online and all the people that are buying our pizzas to go, then we must be doing something right.
Yeah, 100%. Now, you mentioned stimulus checks, right? Because so we do this podcast and a lot of pizza operators listen to it. And no matter where they are in the country, I feel like the number one question we get asked about is like, we can't find employees. It's hard for us to staff our restaurants. It's like, nobody wants to work. Like with so many restaurants and so many locations, like how do you manage that part of the business?
That's a really great question. You know, I read a lot of articles out there, and I'm reading on like some Yahoo articles putting out that saying that it's not the stimulus check. It's not the unemployment benefits that the people are getting that is keeping them away from the business. I strongly disagree. I think if you're giving people $300 a week, plus they're getting their anywhere from 250 up to 500-600 from their state, you know, there's no reason for them to have to feel they have to take the risk. I think that people in our business, it's a, you know, people feel it's a risky business. Just like you said, you really haven't been out much. And when you do go out, you want to sit on a patio. So think about our employees that are working in there. They're putting themselves at risk, if you will, in thought process. It could be from fear, whatever it might be. That's what they have to go up against. So when you're getting, you know, a stimulus check and you're getting money and the government keeps giving you the $1,400, $600, all different things, they're saying to themselves, why should we take the risk? We might as well just stay home and let this thing pass. So, I mean, I think that's one of the biggest issues we have right now. I don't know how many different other, you know, places are having the same kind of problem in regards to, I think manufacturing is having that problem as well because they're in one area and they're all working together in one area. So I think, you know, anybody that's in those areas, I think that's a problem. People are working at home away from their office. I think that's, you know, they're having better results than we are in the restaurant business. So yeah, I think it's a problem. You know, we'll see by September if the government decides to stop that stimulus and the unemployment at that rate, we'll see if it changes. I'm hoping they do, but again, I want everybody to be taken care of. So for us, it'd be great, but I don't want to wish bad thinking on other people that need it and can't find a job. So it's a happy balance, which you know, everybody's got to find.
Yeah, it is tough because, you know, I mean, my daughters are 17. Oh, so I have three daughters, 17 and 8. I'm sorry, 18. They're going to kill me. 17 and 18. those are my oldest two. And they work at a local place.
Three daughters?
I do. I have three daughters. Yeah.
Blessed man.
Yeah. It's fun. It's fun. I wouldn't change it for the world. I love it. But my older two daughters work together at like an ice cream place and they love it. Like, I know it's, the ice cream place has done a really good job of adapting. So instead of people walking into the restaurant, they opened up a window on the side so people can just stay outside and order from the window. But their boss that they work for is a great guy. And he like always like buys them dinner or gives them gift cards if it's busy. So they enjoy the process of going to work. Cause it can be chaotic and working in the service business is hard sometimes, right? Like people are mean, you know, not every customer is exactly nice and understanding of the current circumstances. So it's tough, but they love it. And I think the reason that they love it so much is the fact that it's a fun, enjoyable place to work. And even if it gets busy and chaotic, the people who they work for kind of take care of them on that. And that, like, I feel like more places need to look at it that way, how you make your employees feel versus what they get paid, which used to be like when we were younger.
Right. I definitely agree with that. I mean, I love when the restaurant's buzzing and the energy is phenomenal. The music's going and everybody's having a good time and everybody's just enjoying themselves because that's what we're in the business for. People to enjoy themselves and have a great experience. I would definitely agree with you. It's great when you could be a hands-on owner and you could actually be in that store working it. And again, that's one thing nice about the franchise system where a lot of the franchisees are that owner and they, you know, love and care about their people and their environment. You know, it is tough, you know, with mandates of masks and people coming in that don't want to wear masks.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden we're the mask police and I have to have, you know, a 17, 18, 19 year old hostess speaking to a customer that maybe, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s even, and tell them not to wear, that they have to put their mask on. So it's definitely a difficult, you know, it wasn't an easy situation. And that doesn't make working at a place fun when you have to be the, you know, the police, if you will, and do those kind of things. So it's nice to see things starting to free up a little bit and people being a little more relaxed. Again, I know when COVID first came out, people were really nervous. They didn't know what to expect. And now that they understand it more, I think people are relaxing more and it's not so high stress. Yeah. So yeah, I think the environment's getting better. That still doesn't answer a lot of the different companies are stealing employees. They're putting, you know, offers out there for interviews. They're putting offers out for employees that are paying cash to get people.
Yeah,
so there's tough. A lot of in industry trying to bring people in, from management to, you know, back at house has been a really big issue. I mean, even dishwashers. I mean, I'm seeing dishwashers getting paid $15, $20, $25 to wash dishes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? What's going to happen when all of a sudden the market opens up and all of a sudden it gets flooded with people coming in that aren't fearful anymore? What's going to happen then? Are they going to continue paying $20, $25 for a dishwasher? You know, the economics, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You can't sustain that. So unless you're going to charge another $10 on top of pizza,
right,
which I don't think that's sustainable either. So I don't know. It's going to be, it's interesting time. So what I'd recommend for people out there thinking about this, think towards the future, be a visionary, be the entrepreneur, and think through that before you make a move. Sometimes you may be working better on a little less staff than having more staff. Just protect yourself. Because what do? When things change back, you can't bring people down and pay.
Right.
You can't de-promote people. I mean, it's just, you just got to think about that.
Did you, so how, what's on your menu? Is it like a real restaurant menu where you have a lot of different items, or do you just have a few items?
I believe in KISS, and we have salads, calzone, pizza, and dessert.
So that's easy then. Like that made it probably manageable.
It's a lot of math. I mean, it's all on one page. We have our beers, we have wines, we have liquor, but I tell you, I keep it that way. People keep telling me, oh, put this on. I'm not interested in it. I want to keep it the way you did it back in Italy. Very simple things that people like, and that's it. I don't, the other problem that you have too, is when you go into multiple locations, landlords looking at different things to protect, Italian restaurants, protect this, protect that. So if I start adding pastas and all these different things on my menu, now I'm no longer a pizzeria. Now I'm competing in the Italian zone. So we keep it simple.
Yeah. Plus imagine if you had like 100 different menu items and now there's this whole lack of employees. Like that's just it's so much harder to manage when you have more items. Like you need the same amount of people to do half the work because there's just more items, more training, more inventory. It just makes it so much more complicated.
The other thing that makes it complicated too for that is if you've been following is also what's going on with the supply chain.
Yeah.
Supply chain shortages. I mean, we're having issues where like our linen, we use a checkered tablecloth linen. The linen companies can't even get people to work.
That's crazy.
So the linen companies can't clean their linens. So now we have like yellow linens, we have white linens, we have pink linens. So we have, we have pizza boxes that are printed on. We can't print any more pizza boxes. So now I got to use a standard pizza box. I mean, these are all the things going on right now that people aren't even realizing, that the shortage of our people, same thing the shortage of having in all these different other areas in the service industry. So even delivery drivers, that people can't get delivery drivers. I'm getting emails nonstop from DoorDash, Uber, and all these people asking if you want to be a driver because they're shorthanded on drivers.
It's crazy. So,
yeah, but it's we get canceled orders because people can't find Uber drivers or DoorDash drivers. So all of a sudden that affects our restaurant. So we're making the pizzas, but then it cancels because these people can't get people to pick it up.
That's unbelievable. It's what a crazy time we're in. I mean, it's just unbelievable. But I think one thing that it did too is the consumer is more aware after 2020 of what a restaurant owner goes through than they were before. Do you think?
You know what? I agree with you, but again, it's sort of like decentralization. People it comes out of their minds. You know, it's sort of like they'll experience it and then they'll go back to their normal habits. And then
yeah, it's quick, right? It's a quick turnaround. So
for a little bit, yeah, I agree. But it'll go right back. I just know how humans are, and then we'll be dealing with the same things we always deal with.
That's true. I hope it, you know what, now that you say that, we have short attention spans and short memories. So if this ever does go back to normal 6 months after the normal starts, we'll totally forget everything we went through and we'll go back to being jerks to everybody.
And I agree. And you know, the scary thing about it, and this is the only thing I get nervous about, is what rights and liberties did we give up for this?
Yeah.
And are they going to continue holding those rights and liberties away from us when we go back to our normalcy, if you will?
Yeah.
So I'm hoping everything goes back to normal and we didn't lose rights and liberties and things that we hold dearly.
Right. Like we did go through a point in time where we got told to do a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And I hope it goes back to where they let us live. That's why we're in America. Let us live. Let us do what we do. Let us our freedoms, as opposed to telling us what we could do, how do we have to do it, and then have other people dictating us what to do, and then have to make our people mandate to do it, and then to follow through on making sure other people are doing it and making us the military police.
Which right.
I don't want to, that's the last thing I want.
That's one thing my daughter did mention to me. She's like, Dad, I can't stand telling people to put their masks on. She's like, why do they do that? Like, why do they make us have to tell them? They're adults. I'm a kid. They make me tell them to put their mask on. I don't understand why people just don't do it. I'm like, you know,
yeah, what? And they put the children in, and I say children, but they put the younger adults in harm's way. Yeah. Because it's, you know, I've been in restaurants where I've seen adults, you know, get into like almost fist fights where the management has to come in because people are telling them because they don't want to, you know, people, we're America, we're, you know, we're about freedom. That's what we're based on. And when people are losing their freedoms and they feel they're losing their freedoms and they have other people telling them what to do, you know, it's just a bad combination. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to everything being released back to where it was. And I hope that they continue doing it that way.
Yeah, I agree. I'm looking forward to that as well. You know what I want to talk to you about? Because you do a lot on charity. I saw on your website that you work with No Kid Hungry, which is cool. And then you're also doing something for the month of April, which is this child help.
Yes.
Can you explain what that is?
Well, first thing, you know, for us, for our organization and for me in particular and my wife, we're really big looking at what we could do to give back. I mean, that's just about what our nature is. We're blessed to be where we are and the circumstances we're in, and we want to give back. So animals and children are near and dear to our hearts. Those are the ones that we work with the most. We say those without a voice, without a choice. So those are the ones we really, really work hard on. Child help is an amazing. There's two founders. They're in their 80s, about 85, 86. 62 years they've been doing this business.
Wow.
And when I say business, I'm in the children business. They've saved over 11 million children.
That's
the cases that these women deal with is just it would roll your stomach and your mind because it's so, you just can't believe that human beings would do this to other human beings, especially infants, newborns, and children. It's just unbelievable. So I got Grimaldi's involved in it. I sit down on the board of directors with the organization. It's near dear to my heart. So the month of April is the Day of Hope, and we go back to Congress and the Senate. This year we weren't able to, but we go and we meet with all the senators and congressmen and we speak to them about child help and what we're trying to get accomplished, what we could do to help children. So that's the big month it is. So this year we're doing a drive for child help. And what we're doing is between $5 and $25, whatever you donate, I'm matching back.
Oh, wow, fantastic.
So you'll buy a $25 gift card, I'll give back another $25. So, you know, my goals are, we did it for No Kid Hungry as well. You know, we've raised anywhere between $100,000 to $250,000 for the charity. It's phenomenal. We really enjoyed it. And then each local general manager and the managers have their own charities that they want to do in their environment or their, you know, their communities. And we bless all those to have them do that because I think it's, you know, we're part of the community and we want the community to embrace us and vice versa. So I think it's super important. And then we do a lot of for the smaller organizations like the animal welfare and different little small organizations. There's so many little ones out there. There's Weimaraner rescues, there's pit bull rescue. There's so many different things you don't realize. Yeah. That what I do is at the restaurant in our banquet space, we give them the banquet space to use for free. And we just have them take care of the waiters. And I give all the food, I give everything away, and they do their raising. A lot of them have this is their biggest one-year raiser where they raise all the money to pay all the vet bills, pay off all the debts they have. So that's the kind of stuff that we do for the community. Again, it's super important to me.
Yeah. And even though you're kind of a, I don't want to say a franchise model, but you're nationwide, each restaurant is in a community that is part of that community. And relies on that community support to support that restaurant. So it's good to see the restaurant giving back to the community as well.
100%. And especially with all the baseball teams and the little leagues and all that stuff. I mean, we're super involved in all the things that go on in the community. And I think every business should really, and you know, should do that. I feel every restaurant, we should be giving back because they're helping us. We should help them and make ourselves a, you know, unified world. That's what we really need to be.
And you know, as someone who's, my daughter plays softball, my youngest daughter, and we go to a lot of local places. I understand that a lot of local places are up. Like, it doesn't have to be like what you do, where this on this big, huge scale. It could be like, you know what, $100 donation or $150 donation so the kids could buy some shirts or go enter a tournament. Like, that helps, and that makes a huge difference in these kids' lives.
Everything counts. Anytime you give, like I said, givers gain. That's the way it always works. If you give, you gain. You know, we're all blessed, and thank God we're all, like I said, we grew up in America now, and we're able to have a blessed life. So if you give back, I feel you get 10 times in return.
Yeah. It feels good too. It feels good. Like it feels good to give back, and like, it makes you feel like, I mean, you did do something great. So it does feel good. Like, makes you feel better about yourself.
And the way to really feel a lot better is if you give it without expecting anything.
Yeah.
That's the hard one for people. When they give, there's always some kind of expectations, but if you could give without expectations, I tell you that's the breakthrough for you. That's where you open up your heart, your spirit, your soul. And it's a phenomenal situation.
I think everybody should go through life with low expectations about everything, right? Think about it. You go to a movie, have low expectations. Every movie that you thought was going to be terrible, and you go and you're like, oh, that was actually pretty good. And the ones that
life, you have a lot more smile on your face, wouldn't you?
Yeah, totally. Like, you think this is going to be terrible. You go in low expectations, just go through life with low expectations, and everything will be a great surprise.
I was at dinner with a friend of mine yesterday. He says, you know what? When I was in my 20s, I had all these goals. And then when I hit my goals, I realized in my 30s, I'm not going to have any more goals anymore, because now I can hit everything I choose to hit.
Right. Yeah. You got to like,
it's an interesting thought process though. If you're not obtaining your goals, people go to get depressed. They have all these different things. If you don't have any goals, there's nothing to be worried about. Then you just keep going through life, and things as they, it's a surprise every day.
That is also true. That is a great way to look at it. You're right. Well, this was fun, Joe. I don't want to take up too much of your time. Where can people go if they want to go support your charity or be involved in that? Where should they go to kind of find that? And like, maybe on social media, where should they go follow you guys?
Yeah, they can follow us on our website. We have, you know, we're on Instagram. We're on all the different social medias. Childhelp.org is another one. I think No Kid Hungry. I think a lot of people know where No Kid Hungry is because a lot of people are involved in No Kid Hungry.
Yeah.
But we're always posting on things on our website and our Facebook about the different events we're doing. But like I said, if there's any takeaway people can take away from this, give back. It's the best thing you'd ever could do, especially in these times when people need help.
We'll link up all that in the show notes too. So Grimaldi's Pizzeria on Instagram, on Facebook, Grimaldi's Pizza on the website. We'll link all that up in the Child Help, No Kid Hungry. We'll link all that up in the show notes too. So if you just go over to smartpizzamarketing.com, you'll find links to all of that.
I appreciate it. And Bruce, thank you so much for what you're doing out there, meeting with the independents, meeting with all the big franchisees, everybody. It's great business that you're doing. And we definitely appreciate the time and effort you're putting into it. So thank you very much. And I hope to see you out here in sunny Arizona sometime.
I do as well. I'm going to definitely get out there. I really want to go. Maybe January, February, you'll see me out there, hopefully. Don't hang up yet, Joe, but it was
spring training.
Yes, I'm going to get out there. February, perfect time to get out to Arizona and get away from Boston. Don't hang up yet, but it was a pleasure having you on the podcast. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you to Joe for joining us on this episode. If you missed anything, or you want to go ask Joe a question, or you want to follow them on social, we'll link everything up in the show notes for this episode over at smartpizzamarketing.com. Just go check it out over there. Again, don't forget to register for the Pizza Summit 2021, May 24th through the 26th, a mixture of live and pre-recorded sessions. But if you register, you get all of it. Even if you miss one, you'll be able to go back and answer or listen and watch the videos for that. We'll probably make it into videos and podcasts. So if you do register, you'll be able to watch the videos. But if you prefer to listen while you work, we'll also be able to give you the podcast form of that as well. PizzaSummit2021.com. Use coupon code SPM podcast for 50% off. If you have a question, you can DM me on Instagram. I am at TheBruceIrving or at Smart Pizza Marketing. And also, Bruce@smartpizzamarketing.com is my email. If you have any questions or comments, or you have anything you want to hear about on this here podcast that you're listening to right now. All right. Thank you guys so much. Appreciate you. We'll see you next week right back here on the show.